What is up, Dolphin fans? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're doing it a little different this time. It's just me and TD. Some days it might be me and Omar. It might be me and Alan. It might be three of us. It might be all four of us. But we're going to start doing pre-records, try to give you guys a different aspect, you know, a little bit different look into things. So I think this is going to be a little fun. It's me and TD right now. We're going to run it usual. You're probably watching this on a premiere, so shout out to everyone who's watching right now, to the, you know, the members and everyone who's subscribed. If you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button. And like usual, we do have to shout out the sponsors. We got Prize Picks here. TD's going to pull up his Prize Picks, you know, later on in the video. Me and him are going to be chopping it up about the quarterbacks. But you play that, you know, HMA code. Play $5, you get 50 instantly. Super fun. And we have as well SeatGeek. This is a pre-recorded from me, now playing in a pre-recorded pre-recordception. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love, love, love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app. Again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. Get yourself some SeatGeek. I'm wearing the same hat. That's in that pre-record. But yeah, man, I love SeatGeek. Use them. Shout out to them. So yeah, let's jump into this, man. Like I said, me and T, you're going to chop it up. We're talking quarterbacks, and I was like, they said to me, what do you want to talk about in the first pre-record? I was like, well, since it's just me and TD, we got to talk quarterbacks, because, you know, TD loves himself some Malik Willis.
Love myself quarterbacks, that's all.
But I, you know what? I want to talk about it, and I want to talk about, like, your realistic expectations for Malik, mm-hmm. and we're going to go into a lot of things about Malik, because you know, there are people who are very hesitant on their feelings of Malik. And, you know, what do you have to say to those people? Like, the I'm one of them, right? Like, if you remember back when we first started talking about it, I was like, I don't think the Dolphins are going to sign him. It might be too expensive and, you know, all this other things. I'm giving him a shot. He's wearing the Dolphins jersey. But, you know, for the people like me that are kind of like, because you're gung-ho. You love yourself some Malik. What would you have to say to the people that are kind of like apprehensive about putting it all in on Malik?
I would say to those individuals, rightfully so, you know, rightfully so. At the end of the day, this team has found each and every way to screw us at the quarterback position. And I always said the worst quarterback you can ever have is one that's good enough not to be good enough, which means they're a good quarterback, but they'll never get you over the hump. And I think that's what our last quarterback was. And it's the worst quarterback to have. It's worse than a bad quarterback, because a bad quarterback, you can at least recognize that and move on sooner. You know, Tannehill took 7 years of our life, you know, or maybe more. Was it eight or seven?
Seven. I think it was seven. Yeah.
Yeah. 7 years. And now we've got another that took six. And I mean, this can start happening at a rapid rate, and I just want the Dolphins to get the quarterback position right. And people who are doubting Malik, he hasn't proven anything in this league. You know, the reason why I'm really that gung-ho on him, though, is because I'm a big tools guy. You know, I look at all the great quarterbacks in the league, and I just think about, you know, the difference in tools. What does this guy have that one doesn't have? Even though he doesn't have that, what makes him so good? So I study all these quarterbacks, and I was, first off, Doug, I don't know if you realize this, but I wasn't high on Malik Willis before we got him.
Yeah,
Malik Willis. No, I mean, because they're going to want to pay him this amount, and I'm not good with it. I said, if they give him any more than $20 million, it's a bad idea. And they gave him 24 a year or something like that. But when I put the tape on and I said, okay, now I'm forced to actually see what we're getting, he has all the tools. You know, and I respect the fact that people say it's a small sample size, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But ability is everything. Mm-hmm. All you have to do, first off, the baseline for any quarterback, show that you can do this mm-hmm. Or that and this. And I understand a broke clock is right twice a day. So sometimes they'll show you something, but mobility, that's not a come and go thing.
Yeah.
Improvisational skills, that's not a come and go thing. You either have it or you don't. So mm-hmm. if you show it one time, that's all you need. So his athleticism, it's all I needed. I know he has that. It's you can't question sample size with athleticism. You mm-hmm. know you have that in the weapon. Now you have to break down the actual quarterback. Can he throw the football? Oh, in Tennessee, he couldn't. But hold on, what's going on here in Green Bay in this small sample size? Although it's small, why does it look elite? Why does it look elite? But you know what? Since it's a small sample size, I think it's fair to not call it elite, but recognize he has it in him.
Yeah.
He has that. He can. Now, can he do it week in and week out on a consistent basis, looking at different looks? We don't know because he doesn't have the sample size for us to feel that way. But the tools are there. And when I ask people, they laugh at me when I try to bring up guys like Josh Allen and Lamar in the same sentence as Malik. By all means, it's the most unfair thing ever. I'm not comparing them. They're on a level that we just can only pray that he can get to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do pose this question to everybody. What skill set outside of experience do those guys have that he doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find anything. You might luck out and say this. Oh, you know what? I'll give you that. But outside of that, he has all the tools. So for me, I'm searching tools. And let's see if we can get him to work on the field, which is going to be the quarterback's coach, OC, head coach. But that's all I ever wanted, a guy who had all the tools. Now let's get behind it to see what it looks like. And if it fails, guess what? I'm about the Dolphins. Let's go find our next quarterback ASAP. Matter of fact, let's stop with this project and put Quinn Ewers in, and let's see what he can do before we make a decision to draft a quarterback next year. But I just believe in Malik because he has the skill set. Can he put it together? I have no clue. But what I do know is that I believe in what I've seen.
Yeah, and you know, like I said before, I was very apprehensive about signing him, especially, you know, with the rumors that came out, because I was thinking like, oh, 12 million with the sample size, and like he's getting like what, 22, 23, 24 million a year. Yeah. But like you said, the small sample size was big games. It wasn't like the beginning of the season. It was end of the season against
playoffs
the Bears.
On the line for these teams.
Exactly. And he stepped up and he made some really good plays. And that's where I kind of was like, all right. Because when we watched it last season, we were all like, oh, you know, we're watching the Ravens game. We're watching the Bears game. And we're saying to ourselves, oh, I love Malik on this team. And who wouldn't want him? And now that we have him, you know, there's still people who prefer Quinn Ewers. And, you know, I could see that. I was one of those people that, you know, I still would like a fair competition, but we all know that there isn't going to be a fair competition. But I would like to see Quinn and him get that, you know, okay, let them each get equal reps with the ones and see what you really have in Quinn with those starters. But, you know, we talked about it a lot on the collective that it's the top that he can hit and the bottom with mm-hmm. Quinn, it's like very narrow. Like the best he can be is that game manager. And the worst he could be is pretty bad. Whereas it's like Malik, his is so much wider. Where the best he could be, like you've been saying, is Lamar Jackson, is Josh Allen. And the worst he could be is a bust. And I think that is why they are not having a competition and really going gung-ho with Malik, because he has a lot that he has to figure out, especially running this offense. But do you think that Quinn Ewers should get a legit shot? Or do you think because of that athletic disparity between the two, it's like you really need to get Malik ready for the season.
Me personally, I believe that Quinn Ewers is already getting a legit shot. Okay. If Quinn Ewers goes out there and looks like Tom Brady every single day in practice, I believe he'll be our starting quarterback this year.
Okay.
But that's not going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Here's another thing people need to understand. The reason why Malik Willis is QB1 on the depth chart, and that's our starting quarterback until otherwise, is because in his small sample size, he never caused the team pain. He never hurt the team. It was all positive play. Quinn Ewers, in his time, his small sample size, he played solid, but he also showed areas where he can definitely improve too, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at that, you already have a guy who's a veteran now, even though he doesn't have playing mileage as a veteran, in Malik Willis, who's been here developing and cooking for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think the proper conversation to have around Quinn Ewers is, can we make Malik successful and then allow Quinn Ewers to become the next Malik? I think that's what's important. You have a great backup in Quinn Ewers, because if he continues to improve and get better, he's a great backup for us.
Yeah.
And guess what? If Malik goes down in the next couple of years, still having Quinn Ewers' rights, and he gets that shot and he plays like Malik did in Green Bay, for us, when he gets that shot, you're a free agent now. Now you get to go actually get the Malik Willis treatment that he's getting right now. So I think that's a realistic expectation with this Quinn Ewers thing, because he's still raw. Mm-hmm. Malik Willis took, four years to get to this point? Like, we need to recognize that Malik Willis has been in the league for 4 years. This will be his fifth season. Quinn Ewers only 1 year. Allow them to keep cooking Quinn Ewers and allow them to keep making him better. And guess what? You might even look up a year or two from now and Quinn is better than Malik. We don't know, but this notion of a battle, Malik Willis is a better player than Quinn Ewers right now. And I believe they know that by far, but they love the strides that Ewers has been making. So I think he is getting a fair competition, but they're also respecting where both players are at right now.
And I like hearing that Malik and Quinn, you know, they'll go back and forth with having good games, because I don't want Malik to just rest on his laurels and be like, oh, I'm being paid 20, which he wouldn't. That's just not the person he is. But, oh, I'm being paid $22.5 million a year. I'm the starter. I don't have it. I want, you know, Quinn to be breathing down his neck, so he feels like, oh, I can't slip up. And I need to be prepared.
Well, here's what's happening in Miami, and the coaches know this. They're on a different comparable scale. They're not comparing Quinn Ewers' play to Malik Willis' play. Mm-hmm. And here's why. So Malik Willis throwing the football, just raw in the pocket throwing the football, right? He may present himself as a 7.5 with a ceiling of an 8, okay? Mm-hmm. Not elite, but good, really good throwing the football, right? His overall game.
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers can peak at a 9 throwing the football. But right now he's at a 7. It's still under Malik's 7.5. And Malik is always going to give you the 7 to the 8. 7 to the 8. Mm. Quinn Ewers, as of right now, you're going to get a 9 ceiling moment, be like, wow, Quinn Ewers playing great, but he's probably at this stage in his career going to give you more 6s than you would like until he continues to develop. So that's just passing the football. Now running the football, Malik is a 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. He has the tools like anybody, and he's very, very agile and gets out of trouble very, very well, great awareness. You know, some of these guys are just fast and quick, but he actually has really good pocket awareness, and knows how to shift his body. That's what, and he keeps his eyes upfield as he's moving in the pocket. That's why a lot of his throws on film come scrambling, but keeping his eyes up during it. He's not worried about who's around him. He peripherally not just sees it, but feels it. So he's a 10 out of 10 in that area. And you're always going to get nine or 10 play out of him. But Quinn Ewers, on the other hand, he's a 6 in that area. And on your best day, you're going to get a 7.5. So overall, that's what you can't see in camp right now. That piece of it. There's nothing you're going to get more from Quinn that you're not seeing mobility-wise in camp. But Malik Willis, a whole lot more. So they're not ranking these guys on just throwing the football. They know Malik, whenever he gets out of that pocket, he's small sample size, but the most accurate quarterback in the NFL outside of the pocket.
Yeah.
Like these – so they it's not a comparison, and people are trying to make it a comparison, but it's not. They already know what they have.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, they might even be telling, you know, Malik just to focus on his pass game because they know what they have.
Exactly.
In the run game. So listen, OTAs, mini camp, even probably in some of training camp, maybe even the preseason, just focus on getting the ball out, focus on your foot placement. And then when the, you know, the bullets really fly week one, week two, week three, then, you know, do your thing. But right now,
be smart.
Yeah. Just focus on getting the offense down right now, which again is helping that he has Slowik, because he's going from LaFleur to Slowik and they all run that Shanahan offense. And, you know, it's the same. And that's the other thing that, you know, definitely helps some of the offensive plays like Dulcich, like Achan, like Patrick Paul and all them, is that the offense really isn't going to change much. It's mostly just verbiage and trying to get the understanding there. But unfortunately for Malik, he has a plethora of new wide receivers that are just struggling right now with being where they need to be.
But you know what I'll say about that, Doug, and this, a lot of people are making this a negative, right? Mm-hmm. And I understand why, because I made it a negative with Tua in his early career. I don't think Malik's going to have a problem with chemistry with his receivers, because he's going to check the ball down a lot. He's going to. Like, people are like, oh, well, I want you to be aggressive. This is the piece of Malik's game that I appreciate when I watched that film of last season in Green Bay. Every check down he made was the smart move. It from a statistical probability standpoint, yeah, I could thread the needle to the tight end and maybe get both defenders 6 inches away from getting it, and it's the perfect throw, which is a 10% probability. Or on 3rd and 6, I could take this 4-yard check down and put it in stride and let my guy go get 8 more yards. He thinks that through. I see the efficiency in his decision-making when he checks down. He's going to take the smart play, and when you blow it in the secondary, he's going to hit it deep. And when he gets his one-on-ones on the outsides, he's going to take them. See, those are the Malik Willis aggressive throws. He'll hit a tight end over the middle. He'll be aggressive doing that. He'll throw the go ball one-on-one, single high safety. He'll throw those all day. The throw you're not going to see him make as much is the 20-yard dig, you know? Those, you know, you're not going to see him right at the hash, too. Those throws in the intermediate 15, 20-yard in the hash, you're probably not going to see many of those, but you're going to see the outsides, because it's the probability in high response plays. One-on-one, higher probability. He takes those when he identifies it. Hey, everything's muddy. They got 7 in coverage, but I got my guy over here. Let me check that down. Let me live for the next day. It's going to be the smart play, and people are going to see it with efficiency. But people are mistaking it today as, oh, he's scared to pull the trigger. He's not a high turnover guy. In those 3 games in Green Bay, not even turnover worthy plays. That's what we want. That's what how a young team can survive. Don't turn the ball over. And that's going to help us.
You think he learned a lot of that, especially from his time in Tennessee? Because in Tennessee, he might have been a little bit more careless with the football, trying to do something, whereas LaFleur in Green Bay was more honed him in on, you know, take what is given you. Because that's the other thing that people are really not understanding about this offense, and LaFleur talked about it a lot, is, you know, they asked him about who's your wide receiver one. He said it makes him nauseous even thinking about it. They don't have a wide receiver. They don't let their offense dictate it. They let your defense dictate who we're going to throw the ball to.
Thank you. But that's that requires a real processor of the field. Mm-hmm. And this is an area in which people, in my opinion, are being a little bit casually disrespectful to Malik Willis. Malik Willis can process the field. He can go through his reads. He doesn't do it as fast as some quarterbacks, but guess what? Something Dolphin fans aren't used to. He doesn't have to do it as fast because he has the arm strength to identify it that half a second later and get the ball there. That's the cheat code for quarterbacks with arm strength. If I don't have to be an ultra processor, that comes one every 50 quarterbacks. Peyton Manning's one every 50 quarterbacks that comes, that's not normal. People need to understand that just because you're putting up stats don't mean you're processing the field. Not many guys do that. Probably three guys in the NFL today that actually process at an elite level. Now, am I saying Malik processes at an elite level? Not at all. He does not process at an elite level, but he processes fast enough to get the ball there because of his arm strength. So I think you're right in the sense that they are using him right now to just focus on throwing the football. But he has the tools to do so many things, and I think people are sleeping on that.
I think that's the thing, especially Dolphin fans are going to be the most excited seeing, because you look at the quarterbacks we've had, and, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tua Tagovailoa, Ryan Tannehill, you know, Chad Henne, you know, all of these guys. And a lot of times you'll have like a third and two situation or a third and goal situation, and they're always trying to figure out who I can throw the ball to. And we got a little taste of that with Huntley against Cleveland when he ran that touchdown in. And we're not used to that. We're not used to a legit RPO where the defense has to now decide, is Malik going to keep the ball or is he going to give it to Devon? And that also is really going to be able to open up this run game and force the safeties to come down. And like you said, being able to throw it over the top. Having a mobile quarterback is the way of the NFL right now. You know, back in what, early 2000s, mid 2000s, when Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know, Jay Cutler, all those guys. That's when you had the processors and stuff. Whereas now, you got, you know, Daniels and Allen and Lamar and Patrick Mahomes and all these guys who also can use their legs. And the Dolphins have one now. But there's, again, for me, there's still that big question mark of we need to see the full sample size. And I get this question a lot on my channel. And it's like, what would it take for him to get benched? And I honestly, he'd have to get hurt. And I'm going to knock on the wood. I don't see it. I don't see any way that Quinn Ewers gets put in unless that happens. Can you see any feasible way that they bench Malik? Like, how bad would he have to play to get benched and then Quinn goes in?
That depends on who Jeff Hafley is, and none of us know yet. We haven't seen his politics in any of these circumstances yet because he hasn't been through anything in Miami yet for us to see how he handles it. But if he's the right coach for the Miami Dolphins long term, it's not Malik losing games. It's contributing to losing games. Like people need to understand, Malik has to be great. He can't be good.
Yeah.
This is in my opinion. Malik can't be good. I don't want good. I want you to take this no-name wide receiving core and make something out of nothing and show us that you have carryability in you. We don't need you to carry the whole thing, but we need you to show that you can carry a little more load than just your responsibility. Play the position, play it well, but sometimes go be a hero. And it don't have to work all the time, but sometimes give it to us. He has to be that. So no excuses. If he's not that, and I understand people are going to be like, you know, well, that's an unfair expectation for one first-year guy. This is all you get. We got quarterbacks coming in the draft next year. We can't miss out on. You got to show us immediately you're that guy. So if by week 8 he's not showing that he's the guy, you have to go with Quinn Ewers. You have to give him 8 weeks to at least show I can be Tyler Shuck or Show, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I can be that guy. I can actually, I'm elevating. Don't give up on me. Give him that opportunity. So people think just because I glorify Malik Willis and I believe in him, which I do, if he not delivering, he got to go. We need to find our franchise quarterback.
Yeah. And, you know, that, you know, I did it with Tua. You know, I was one of the few that was in between for a good portion of the time where I was like, I need to see more. That was my biggest thing. I need to see more, but I talk about the good. But I needed to see more. And then I got to the point where I was like, he's not showing me anymore. It's time to move on. And that's kind of how you are with Malik. It's like, I need to see.
Yeah, you believe in him, but hey, let's see. If you're not living up to it, hey, man, yeah, you got
to move on. It's time to move on. So, you know, that's interesting. I didn't think of it that way, especially, you know, the whole Jeff Hafley aspect of it. Like, what type of coach?
If he's the right coach, you have to do what's right. Screw that money. And that's what I feel like Greer and them was scared to do. You know, they had Stephen Ross write a lot of checks, so they knew that there was a lot of accountability that was being laid at their feet. But you know what? He had a chance to get out of that right before he gave the contract.
Yeah.
Just call the balls and strikes. You pay for a team to look great around the quarterback, and that quarterback ended up being a good quarterback, but he wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. They knew that already, Doug. It wasn't just the arm dying. Tua had skill. Tua was a good quarterback. And that's where I was wrong. I didn't think he can be good. I just thought he'd be above average at best. But he's a good quarterback. But does he have any carry ability in him? That's where you know he doesn't. You can't have a team carrying a quarterback. That's not how it works. It's not. That quarterback got to be meeting the team and playing just as well. And that's what I hope Malik Willis can do, because if he can't, man, put Ewers in there. And if none of them can, let's go get us a quarterback.
It's Dolphin fans, man. We've been dying for that 26 years now. It's been the last time we have a guy who can carry this team. Every other quarterback we've had, it's been like, okay, we need the defense to do it. Okay, we need Ricky to do it. Okay, we need, you know, so-and-so to do it, you know, because it'd be nice to have a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson, you know, one of these guys where, you know, they will put the team on their back and they'll go out. And guess what?
These guys you name, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, they are not great processors of the field.
No,
you go watch they film. They missing any and everybody. But guess what? You don't remember because they extended the play by 5 seconds and found somebody streaking by the sideline for 30 yards. So you do not even evaluate the play of, man, they missing reads. Those guys are not great processors of the field like people think. But their play rises to a level with their improvisation and extension of plays that's unrivaled, man. And that's special. That's why that's the big bang for your buck now at quarterbacks. A guy who can rise to the occasion and do things when nothing is there to be done.
Seriously. Before we get out of here, Prize Picks. I want to do something different today for Prize Picks because, you know, NBA is over and, you know, NHL is over. Like a lot of things are over. Right now it's just baseball and the World Cup. But you could do future stuff with the NFL, which, you know, you had some and I think I have some as well, but you also could do future like win losses. And one that I want to really touch upon, obviously Miami's at 4.5 and we all know how, you know, even I would take the over on that. I think the Dolphins right now are around a 6-win team. Do you still have them at 11-10? Like, honestly,
I got them at 10. Doug, we won 7 games last year and our quarterback wasn't even on. You might as well say he wasn't even on the field. We won 7 games last year. And yeah, Malik going to give me 3 more, man. We get it's 10.
Funny too, because I say like 5-6 and you could swing 4 wins in this schedule. A lot of people look at the schedule and think it's brutal, but then you get to a certain point in the season and then you really know what these teams are. So it's like,
we getting 5 alone in the division. We gonna sweep the Jets like we always do. Buffalo, I'm telling you, we should have swept them last year. We beat them 32-12 or something. And then
two mistakes.
Zach Sealer roughing the kicker. We were leading the whole game. We owned the game. I was actually at that game in Buffalo. It literally Zach Sealer's roughing the kicker and Tua's pick at the and on the back end. We had them beat. We gonna sweep them this year. I'm telling you, Buffalo ain't as special as people think. We're gonna beat up on them. It's the Patriots. I can only hope to split with them. But that's five wins I got in our division alone. We beaten the Raiders. That's six. We beaten the Colts. That's seven. I don't even think their quarterback gonna be there in time. I'm already at seven, dog. I got three more out there. So I'm going 10 wins for the Dolphins, wild card team this year, if we don't win the division, but wild card team. And you know what? Maybe we do get bounced in the first round. I'm okay with that. Getting 10 wins alone, going to the playoffs with the new coach, all this new stuff, that's huge. And I know people would be like, oh, we still can't get out the first round. We weren't supposed to be here, according to everyone.
That's true.
So
there was a year, I'm going to show what you have, but there was a year that we weren't even supposed to be there. We, I think it was 2016, like we, or 2022, I think it was, that we exceeded expectations.
22?
I think it was, or 21.
We had a backup.
McDaniel's exactly. First year.
We had Skylar Thompson.
That year. Yeah. I don't think we were supposed to, like, a lot of people didn't see us making the playoffs. And then.
And here's the crazy thing. All we did is beat the bad teams. So we had enough bad teams on our schedule that year. That year. I mean, we had, but here's the deal. We don't know what a favorable schedule is until the season starts.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't know what a favorable schedule. All these teams, you're not going to beat the Lions. The Lions ain't been the same since they lost both of their coordinators.
No.
They lost two great coordinators who are leading teams far in the playoffs. That's what's wrong with the Lions right now, for those who are wondering. So, I mean, they went to the playoffs with all those injured players the same year we were beat up.
Yeah.
We went to the playoffs. I'm not worried about teams like the Lions and things like that. I think we got the right coach. I think he's putting it together, and these guys are going to go out there and compete and play and never give up on plays. You're going to see fumbles, punching the ball out. You already hear a lot about it in practice. Yeah. Like, these things start to show up on the field, and I think that's why he wants smart guys, because he wants to play smart, not hard. Be efficient and make sure they make the right decision. No turnovers, no penalties. And we're going to shock everybody, man, if they can do that stuff.
Yeah. I see your lineup here with the pitchers. What do you got going on here?
Yeah, this is the deadest season for me because I'm not the biggest baseball fan. I do watch baseball, you know. But what helps me watch baseball is whenever I go to Prize Picks and I do picks on pitchers, how many strikes they can get. You know, I like doing those. So Ben Brown, I got him over 4.5. Cam, I got him under 6.5. And I took Lauder over 3.5. These been hitting for me, you know. One tool that I use, and I'm going to bring it on screen so you can see for those who are watching right now. This is a tool I use whenever I pick my lineup. It really helps, okay? When you go online, you can actually click on a player. And when you click on the player, it shows you what they've been doing. So I kind of stay away from inconsistent guys like this. Let me hit another one. This guy's always under. I might take it on the under because there's a pattern to it. So that's kind of how I do it. This guy always hits. He had one loss, so he's due to go right back up, you know. I'll take his over. You know, these are the type of things that I do. And I've been doing pretty well on it, just having some fun. But like I tell everybody, make sure you play to have fun and do it responsibly. Play $5, get $50 instantly in lineups using code HMA.
Yep. Love our sponsors. But we're going to get out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed this pre-recorded shorter format. Like I said, we'll have different guys in, different formats, all that stuff. We're trying something new. Throw it out there. But go check out tdyoutube.com/tdfinstalk. Myself, youtube.com/DougLeDurong. Also, don't forget about Omar on the Miami Herald and Alan Poupart over there on Miami Dolphins and SI. You'll see the boys back Monday. I don't know what time. Maybe Monday morning again at 12:30. We will see. But we will see you in the next one. But we out. Peace.